We have been covering this topic throughout the show. Really devastating allegations coming out of Washington as of late yesterday. 15 former female employees of the Washington Redskins have accused members of the team's front office of sexual and verbal harassment. This in a report published by the Washington Post. Now, all of these accusations span from 2006 through 2019 and include longtime radio voice Larry Michael, director of pro personnel Alex Santos, and his assistant Richard Mann. The latter two were recently fired in the past week, Larry Michael abruptly retiring in that same time frame. Owner Daniel Snyder and team president Bruce Allen have not been accused of harassment, but some of the women say it was unlikely that Snyder and Allen had no idea that this behavior was even going on. Head coach Ron Rivera releasing the following statement, saying, "The biggest thing is that we have to move forward from this and make sure everybody understands we have policies that we will follow and that we have an open-door policy with no retribution. Plus, my daughter works for the team, and I sure as hell am not going to allow any of this." Now, one of the accusers, Emily Applegate, spoke about the culture. Take a listen.
I had a, week maybe or so that was great. And I was like, yes, this is exactly what I wanted and what was explained to me. And this is going to be great. And then, you get your first, screaming at you for something that it's not your fault. And then somebody makes a comment to you about what you're wearing, and it just snowballs from there. And it really took most people no time to comment on my appearance.
All right, well, ESPN NFL reporter Kimberly Martin here with us. But Kimberly, before we get to you, I want to read the statement that was released by the NFL this morning, saying these matters as reported are serious, disturbing, and contrary to the NFL's values. Everyone in the NFL has the right to work in an environment free from any and all forms of harassment. Washington has engaged outside counsel to conduct a thorough investigation into these allegations. The club has pledged that it will give its full cooperation to the investigation, and we expect the club and all employees to do so. We will meet with the attorneys upon the conclusion of their investigation and take any action based on the findings. Okay, as I just said, Kimberly Martin here with us, a ESPN NFL reporter. And Kimberly, you've been covering the league for about 10 years now, even working as a beat reporter with the Redskins. So I want to ask you first and foremost, what is your reaction to these allegations?
I wish I could say I was surprised. I used to work at the Washington Post. I covered this team. I've covered a lot of teams. And this is something that happens from a reporter's standpoint. This happens often. Where unwanted advances, comments about your appearance, you have to deal with these things, or at least that's the feeling, because nobody checks it. You often feel like you can't go to somebody and the situation will be rectified. You feel like Band-Aids are put on situations, and you learn to put things in the back of your mind. You learn to just move on and push it out of your mind so that you can focus on what's going on and the job at hand. These are things that other female journalists have had to deal with, that I've had to deal with. Key cards from older coaches, executives, their agents that you've had to cut off because it's not worth it. And these are the things that I don't think some of my male colleagues have really understood, that there's added pressure and added issues when you are a woman covering the NFL.
Well, Kimberly, I can speak, align my same viewpoints with you as a, female in sports. Unfortunately, like you said, I think most women have experienced some type of sexual harassment in some way, shape, or form. It's really all very sad. But, I want to ask you about the fact that Dan Snyder, the owner of the Redskins, has yet to even comment on these crazy and really awful allegations. So what do you have to say in response to that?
That I'm also not surprised about that, because when I was in Washington, I watched as Dan Snyder would trot out Jay Gruden, Doug Williams. Now we're seeing Ron Rivera speaking about issues that go above them or preceded them. And routinely, Dan Snyder is always silent. And that's the thing I saw as a beat writer. The takeaway for me is, how can you not be considered a coward in this moment, where you have the cheerleader story 2 years ago, you had the name change situation. The team has been around for 80 years, and we're now finally getting to a point where Dan Snyder's like, okay, we should probably revisit that whole racist name thing. And now you have this story. And when I talk about Band-Aids, you fired a couple personnel guys, you fired the radio guy. Dan Snyder has a very small circle It is very hard for me to believe that he is completely oblivious to what happens in his organization. He keeps people around him, and he never has to speak for their behavior, and that's troubling.
Yeah, I think the silence is troubling and embarrassing, and I think it's kind of irrelevant whether he knows about it or not, because if you know about it, then you're complicit. If you don't know about it, then you're derelict. Like, that's not an excuse. Like, you've run this organization, and maybe I'd be willing to extend the benefit of the doubt if this organization didn't have the history that it had. I mean, and we've brought it up a couple of times. After that issue with the cheerleaders that they brought to Costa Rica and allowed Sweetholders to look at them during a topless photo shoot, you would think that if you own that organization, you would go do a deep dive and understand all the things that are happening and try to correct those. That was in 2013, and it was reported in 2018. So I don't know that it matters whether he knew about it or not. What matters is that he's created this situation that perpetuates it. But I do think that whenever things like this happen, and I'm familiar with this from a race standpoint, is often we look at one person and say, this is the bad guy, and maybe they are the bad guy, and it absolves all of us of whatever guilt we have in being complicit in this process. So, and listening to you guys talk about what women experience in sports, and having plenty of friends, obviously, who are women in sports, and the things that I see happen to them on social media and everywhere else, like, I wonder if all of us, even in the wake of the Me Too movement, should take a closer look at the things we're doing in this company and the things that in other companies, the things that we perpetuate. Because just pointing at Dan Snyder and saying that's the bad guy, that's the problem, doesn't, because you said that you've experienced this, Kimberly, over a number of different places. Dan Snyder wasn't at all those places. Dan Snyder is not at all these places creating these incidences. So not to let them off the hook, we need to hear him speak, but we also need to be aware that this is not just systemic within Washington, but it's kind of systemic within sports and also probably in American culture.
Yeah, listen, I talked about it early in the first hour, how, you know, just from a macro perspective, this is something that's not, you know, not unknown in sports with females, you know, with females have to go through in this profession, the stress they have to go through and the type of attitudes and actions that are coming their way. So again, you know, I applaud the women that came forward, the 15 women that came forward in the Washington Post article, but it also strikes me the difference between, you know, when Mark Cuban had a similar situation that arose with the Dallas Mavericks and how he approached it, as opposed to Dan Snyder. You know, Mark Cuban in that situation, when the allegations, you know, dropped in the media, the first thing he did was, you know what, I'm gonna step right in front and take full responsibility for everything that's going on within the organization, and he, directed. You know, immediate action, immediate change within the organization, as opposed to Dan Snyder. So, you know, to me, this is just—it's just common. This is a common thread within the Washington Football Team organization of just the derelict of duty from the top with Dan Snyder, and it's permeated itself all the way down throughout the organization. And my biggest question is: is Ron Rivera going to be left to just clean up this whole mess? Because that's what it seems like Dan Snyder is known for, is just putting off these responsibilities, you know, pointing them off to other people within the organization.
Well, you also have to wonder, I mean, Ron Rivera is very open about it. His daughter works for the organization. The fact that now he knows what's running rampant within the organization he was just hired to work under, I mean, that's got to be devastating for him. But Kimberly, the NFL has already said that they're going to wait to launch an investigation of their own at this juncture. But what punishment do you think should be levied against the Redskins by the NFL?
You know, what more does the NFL need to see from Dan Snyder's organization? Really, what are the Redskins now known for? We constantly talk about them, and not in a positive way. There's one scandal after the other. I understand that there may not be a precedent for just getting rid of Dan Snyder, but I think when we talk about the point in time that we're in, where we're talking about Black Lives Matter, we're talking about Me Too, it's not just enough to say, oh, I don't do that. We don't do that here. Allies have to be people who will speak up when it's not convenient. There are other owners who can look at the Washington Football Team and say, you know what? There's just way too much stuff happening here, and it's not okay, and it continues to happen. And Dan Snyder has been at the forefront of all of this, whether he's implicated in print or not. And the NFL has a track record of not doing right, not being consistent when there are issues pertaining to the treatment of women. The NFL, you know, it's one thing to say you support people and this, we're trying to foster a great working environment and no one should have to deal with these things. But what happens day to day? Now we know this article is out there. The cheerleading story should have been a huge deal. And what happened? It went, you know, we forgot about it. And now this comes out. So are we going to forget about this? We're going to let the Washington football team off the hook? Something has to be done. And the NFL and owners really should take a look at Daniel Snyder's ownership.
Yeah, I wonder, in all of this, we talked about how it's a problem that's rampant throughout the NFL and rampant throughout sports. So I wonder if some of the other team owners are a little concerned themselves before they want to go out casting stones. They make sure that they have investigated what's happening within their organizations. I have not heard, and I've been asking all the people that we've had on today, I have not heard many people talking about Dan Snyder being removed. But I do think that in the wake of what we saw happen with the name, it was the sponsors, and it was the internal people inside the organization who brought that to light, or not brought it to light, but wielded the pressure that made that change happen. So I think you're right, Kimberly. It's about the people with power and those allies, and it's about us creating that noise around it. But it's about them saying that, I don't want to be associated with this. I don't want to be associated with that name. Obviously, it took way too long, but I would suspect that these sponsors don't want to be associated with this type of organization or a person who would create an environment where this could fester and negatively impact people. So I think it'll be interesting to see what happens in the coming days and months and see how this investigation turns out. But I think you're right. I think at some point there will be a call for Dan Snyder to be removed from his spot there. I think that's almost inevitable. Whether it'll happen or not, I don't know. But I think that some people will start to try to align themselves on the clear right side of this issue in opposition to Daniel Snyder.
Well, we clearly saw, like, the only reason that the Washington franchise decided to move forward as far as changing the name was because of the sponsorships, was because of the money. Are we going to see something similar now with all the, you know, minority partners deciding to sell their shares and sponsors, you know, dropping? You know, is similar action going to be taken? Because we all know at the end of the day, money talks and everything else walks. So I think the interesting thing is, you know, how will the money affect Daniel Snyder and what he decides to do as far as the Washington franchise moving forward?
Yeah, absolutely. No one wants to be associated with the toxic culture, especially in this day and age. So, you know, it will be interesting to see what happens in terms of the personnel who are working for the Redskins, also the sponsors, like you just said, Damian. But Kimberly, thank you so much for coming on. Thank you for your time. Also, thank you for really sharing, even though vague, the details about what you experience working in the world of sports, because I think it's very important that people hear it. It runs rampant, like we just said, in all different organizations. And I think that it's important that people hear it so there can be change, because the change needs to happen. It needs to happen immediately. So thank you so much.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience, the formula for winning championships, is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Vivid Seats wants to get you to the games you love this spring. Experience every pitch, assist, game-winning shot live and in person. And the best part, each transaction is a step toward a free 11th ticket with Vivid Seats rewards. Score unbeatable perks like free tickets, surprise seat upgrades, and annual birthday deals. As the official ticketing partner of ESPN, Vivid Seats is offering you $20 off your first $200 ticket purchase with code TAKE. That's code TAKE. Visit VividSeats.com or download the app today. Vivid Seats. Experience it live.
Okay, we have some breaking news right here on First Take. Redskins owner Dan Snyder has just released a statement in regards to all of the allegations being brought against the Redskins organization. The statement reads, "The behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. The story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Beth Wilkinson and our firm are empowered to do a full, unbiased investigation and make any and all requisite recommendations. Upon completion of our work, we will institute new policies and procedures and strengthen our human resources infrastructure to not only avoid these issues in the future, but most importantly, create a team culture that is respectful and inclusive of all." Okay, gentlemen, right from here, I want to get your reaction to Dan Snyder's response. Finally, we've been waiting and waiting for him to say something. So, Damian, let's start with you. What's your reaction?
Well, listen, they're just words for me right now. You know, in the press release, you hear him talk about beefing up, HR. Well, where was this when, you know, you had the incident in 2018 with the cheerleaders? You would have thought after that bombshell dropped that, you know, HR would have been beefed up. There would have been a thorough investigation into the actions, you know, in Costa Rica and within the Washington Redskins organization. And then you have this incident drop. So for me, you know, yes, I'm glad to hear from Dan Snyder, because we seem like we've heard from everyone else, but it's just empty words unless I see, you know, some substance behind the words that he's throwing out here in his press release.
Yeah, it's something. So it's a start. But I think, Damon, you brought up Mark Cuban and how he reacted a few when the things hit the Mavericks. And the important thing was Mark Cuban opened himself up to questions. And I know Mark Cuban is a more public figure than Dan Snyder and seeks the spotlight, so maybe that opportunity is a little different. But I think when you are the head of an organization like this, when you have a crisis like this uncovered, you have to open yourself up to questions. So a statement is a step, but I feel like what we need from him is him to stand in front of reporters or one reporter, create an opportunity where we can ask him the hard questions and not just send Ron Rivera out there to answer him and not just type up press release that says all the right things and try to move on. You need to answer for these questions. He didn't make himself available in the wake of the name change, which I still think that's important because there are questions he needs to answer for that also, but he needs to answer to some questions in this incident also. So maybe he needs to just carve out a full day and just sit there and go through the media circuit and be honest and forthright. I think that'll go a long way for him gaining some credibility with the fans of D.C. and the fans of the NFL.
Absolutely. Well, Dan Snyder making a comment finally in the wake of all of these allegations being brought up against the Redskins organization, possibly a little too late. But Booger McFarland will be joining us coming up after the break, so we'll discuss this a little more in depth once he joins us. But guys, I want to get to the NBA bubble. As we know, the NBA will be resuming its season in less than 2 weeks in Orlando, and today's bubble or nothing team is the Utah Jazz, who are currently fourth in the West with a 41-23 record. Jazz star Donovan Mitchell is averaging a career best 24.2 points, which is the highest scoring average by a Jazz player since Karl Malone in the 99-2000 season. And guess who's joining us now? We got Kendrick Perkins in the house. Kendrick, thanks for joining us here on First Take. Now, I want to ask you, we'll start with you here since you just joined us. Does Donovan Mitchell need to leave Utah in order to win a title?
Hell no. Where is he going? He better sit still and keep a cool booty. Listen, Donovan Mitchell is in a great situation in Utah. Listen, he has the right pieces around him. The Utah Jazz has done a great job as an organization with putting this guy in position to be successful. When you talk about a guy like Rudy Gobert, who's a top three center in the league, when you're looking at a guy like Joe Ingles, who's one of my favorite players in the NBA, and then when they added Bogdanovic this offseason from the Pacers, that's a great pickup. Now, they bought in Mike Conley in the trade to take some of that slack off of Donovan Mitchell, But the lack of production of Conley has been kind of terrible this season. He haven't found his niche or whatever. But then they added Jordan Clarkson mid-season to the team to help them out. And he did a tremendous job right before the pandemic and was playing hell of a basketball as a six-man candidate. They are well coached. Will they win a championship this season? Hell no. They will not, because they're going to miss Bogdanovich. And we all know that the Utah Jazz love home court advantage because it's hard to win in Utah. Now, with that being said, if Donovan Mitchell don't want to be that dude, that number one option, if he need to be that second option, then yes, he needs to leave. But if I'm Donovan Mitchell, I'm staying put. The ball is in his hands. They go to him down the stretch. And to me, this is going to be an audition for him in this bubble. Is he a guy with Bogdanovich missing? Is he going to be a guy that could give you 30-plus points in the playoff series? So if I'm the Jazz, I'm reevaluating and keeping a close eye on Donovan Mitchell in the bubble.
Man, hey, Perk, you're my dog, man. But, man, I think Donovan Mitchell, the only chance he's going to have to win a chip is outside of Utah, my brother. Listen, I know that Rudy Gobert is eligible for, I think, the Supermax after this year. That's a lot of money. And I know that Donovan Mitchell is also going to be up for a contract extension. And we know there are a couple players on this Utah Jazz team that are on the wrong side of 30 when you look at Mike Conley and Joe Ingles. So they have some, you know, they have some retooling to do in Utah. And I look at it as what free agents really want to go to Utah. Yeah. To pair up, to be one of teams to overcome the Los Angeles Clippers or, you know, some of these other teams that are able to form these super teams. You know, that's, to me, is a struggle with the Utah Jazz is, you know, their inability to really bring in big-time free agents within that organization. They're going to have to do it in a you know, other ways and be kind of creative. So that's why I say for Donovan Mitchell, I don't see him winning a chip with the Utah Jazz because it's not like a premier destination for a lot of free agents who want to go play in Utah.
Well, they're going to have to build through the draft, obviously. It's going to be hard to get players out to Utah. But if you have a great player, we saw people go to Cleveland, but obviously Donovan Mitchell is not on the level of LeBron James. So it's possible he doesn't have to leave Utah, but I don't think it's possible as they're currently constructed. And as much as everyone appreciates Rudy Gobert's defensive presence, like, if I remember correctly, and correct me if I'm wrong, Perk, I don't want to speak out of turn on the NBA. You know better than me. But I feel like in important moments in the stretch last year, they had to take Gobert off the court because of the way the game is being played. Small ball teams ran him off the court or took him out of the inside by playing a small five. And his most impactful thing is protecting the rim. If you can take him out of the rim, I'm not sure that you can have a max contract guy, which he's coming up looking at. They might make a max contract guy. I'm not sure that you can win. No, it's not. I'm not sure. You can't win a championship in the NBA if your big two is Rudy Gobert and Donovan Mitchell. So I don't know if he has to leave Utah or stay in Utah, but as they're currently constructed, I don't see them getting close or being competitive for a championship in the foreseeable future.
Well, to both of y'all, Woody and Dominique, look, I love both of you brothers. Y'all are my guys, but just 2 years ago, didn't the Utah Jazz knock off Paul George and Russell Westbrook? Didn't they knock them off?
They did. So
with adding pieces every year, yep. To me, every year I'm watching Utah, they're adding pieces. That Bogdanovich pickup, that was so underrated. Listen, this guy was averaging 20 points on 50% shooting before the pandemic. And then you went and picked up a guy, Jordan Clarkson from Cleveland. He was coming in. He was making the case for being a sixth man of the year candidate. So what I'm saying is you got Quinn Snyder. They was putting the right pieces around them. And they acquired Mike Conley. And before, when they acquired Mike Conley in the offseason, yeah, Everybody, including myself, was like, oh, that's a great pickup. Utah could be a dark horse contender coming out of the West, but Mike Conley haven't found his niche. But if all those pieces could work, which they're not this season, but going into next season, they could find a way to make it work, they got a legitimate chance, in my opinion.
Kendrick, do you think that Gobert and Mitchell are getting along given their little bust up with the coronavirus?
I mean, listen, you don't have to get along to go out there and be able to win and compete. We've seen that with a lot of teams. You know, I've been on a lot of teams where guys didn't talk and didn't get along and weren't best of friends. But long as when you step between those lines that you could put your differences aside and go out there and compete and do your job, that's all that matters. But here's the concern that I have. This is a problem that I have with the NBA. This is why you need vets. This is why you need guys like Jamal Crawford on the bench, guys to that nature, because they're able to run the locker room. It's a reason Jared Dudley is still in the league. Yes, he's when his number called, he could play, but imagine if Jared Dudley was on the Utah Jazz. He's the ultimate locker room guy. That's the thing that the Jazz are missing. If they could get a good vet, a great leader that's going to keep guys intact, then yes, I think the Jazz has a legitimate chance in the future. I think the future is very bright for them.
Yeah, they don't have that guy now, so it doesn't seem like the future is bright for them. The immediate future is bright for them in the bubble. They at best case scenario, they make it to the second round, and then that's that. That's a win for me if I'm a Jazz fan.
I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, leadership certainly key, something we've been discussing all show long in several different forms. So, Kendrick, thank you so much for your time. Have an awesome weekend.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/First Take. That's Amazon.com/First Take to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Brown star defensive end Myles Garrett signed a 5-year extension with $100 million guaranteed this week and commented on the contract yesterday, saying he knows he has to, quote, assert himself as top dog. Garrett also addressed his helmet swinging incident with Steelers quarterback Mason Rudolph, calling it, quote, a small bump in the road. All right, then. Booger McFarland joining us now. Booger, I want to ask you, was this really just a small bump, like he's saying?
Well, I think when you look at the incident itself, it was definitely a major incident. But when you look at it from a broader perspective and you look at Myles Garrett's entire career, I think this will wind up being, as he said, a small blip on the radar, because I think for the most part, he has been a very upstanding citizen from an NFL standpoint. He's done things the right way. He comes from a really, really good background, and he's been one of the better young players in this league. I realize the incident got a lot of attention, and you definitely don't ever want to use your helmet to swing and hit another guy in the head. But if you just look at Myles Garrett's track record, I think his track record speaks for itself. And I think as long as he can continue to move forward and learn from the incident and not put himself in a situation like this on or off the field ever again, I think I agree with him. You know, oftentimes, guys and gals, we look at a situation and we look at it in the heat of the moment and in the context we see it in. But when we kind of peel the layers back and we look at it from a broader perspective and we look at his career from a totality standpoint, I think we're going to look back on it and say, hey, Myles Garrett did that, and some people wanted to suspend him for the entire season. Some people were saying, man, this guy needs to be suspended into the 2021 season. And in the end, he's rewarded, and he's the highest-paid non-quarterback in NFL history. So I think not only should we look at it as a blip on the radar, the Cleveland Browns are looking at it that way, and the NFL also, because they've reinstated it.
Yeah, I don't think we will, and I think by and large people overreacted at the time, and I said it at the time, that I think people are overreacting about this. However, this is going to be a chapter in his book. How we talk about it going forward is going to be determined by how he plays and how he continues to behave on and off the field, but this is going to be a chapter. If it turns out that he's the player that he was before this, and he continues to be a great player, and he continues to be the person that we all thought he was before this, then this will be something that we write about and say this was a turning point in his career, and he got refocused, and the rest of the book will be a happy story. But it will be something that we bring up, even at his Hall of Fame induction, if that's how his career works out. But if his career goes poorly and he plays well, we're going to say, well, this was the low point that led to him going all the way off the cliff and never being the player that he should have been. So I think Sanders a small bump. I think not only Mason Rudolph's head would disagree with you, I think I would disagree with you also. Like, it's going to be a big kind of like touchstone when we talk about his career going forward, whether we say it was just a momentary lapse or whether we say it went to define the person that he was. What do you think, D-Wood?
Well, listen, I was one of the guys that was really coming after Myles Garrett when the incident initially happened. It was on a Thursday night, and I remember being on with Scott Van Pelt, and I was the one saying that was assault. So obviously from that situation, you could tell where I was coming from. But I do tend to agree with Booger in this situation because, guys, we know that, listen, in the NFL it's a game of passion, emotions run high. But ultimately, what you do moving forward, if Myles Garrett – remember, this is the same Myles Garrett that had 10 sacks in 10 games. Ooh. Man, think about that. That's crazy. If Myles Garrett comes out and continues to fulfill the promise that he has in that physical specimen of a body, not many people are going to talk about that whole incident that happened with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And Dominic, I know the way you're describing it is that it could be a launching point one way or another, and that's what we're going to talk about. But I know one thing, at the end of the day, all people care about is how are you performing on the field? And if Myles Garrett goes out there and performs at a Hall of Fame type of level, I think this will basically be a blip on the radar and people won't really discuss it much further.
I think you're probably – go ahead.
You know what, Dom, to your point, it's going to be a chapter in the book, but I think it's going to be buried like in one of those chapters on the back pages. Think about Tom Brady, Deflategate. Man, he got suspended for it, and we were all talking about it. When Tom Brady steps to the podium for his Hall of Fame speech, no one that day or surrounding those events are going to talk about Deflategate. It's going to be a small blip on the radar. Now, I realize this is a physical nature or a physical assault, but it's a suspension nevertheless. And I think it's still, to Myles Garrett's point, even though the action of hitting someone on the head is far worse in some's eyes than Deflategate, but I think we got to look at it in the same context because Tom Brady, Hall of Fame, GOAT, great player, nobody's going to mention Deflategate. And if Myles Garrett continues on the trajectory that he's on right now, and he one day gets to be in a Hall of Fame category, and he is potentially a Hall of Famer, nobody's going to mention, well, you remember 12 years ago when he took the helmet and he almost knocked Mason Rudolph in the next week? It'll be a small blip on the radar, well, Dom.
I think it's important also, we went through this whole segment without saying, and I think Myles Garrett still stands by this, he was provoked by a racial slur. So, Myles Garrett was obviously wrong for swinging the helmet. I think that should at least that allegation should at least be a part of this conversation.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, we're talking about Hall of Fame speeches and what comes later on in one's career. But what is Garrett going to do when we know as the season starts getting back to it? How is he going to respond to all these questions in every single city about what happened on the field last year?
I probably gonna respond by sacking their quarterback. Like I think he was on a mission to be Defensive Player of the Year last year. It probably wasn't gonna work out because that team wasn't very good. But he was playing Defensive Player of the Year type of play, and I think with the money and with all the attention, he's gonna want that attention to be on his play on the field. He's gonna answer those questions probably the same way with every city, something to the effect of I want to put it behind me, and then he's gonna go out and slam their quarterback in the turf. That's what's gonna happen.
Yeah, listen, the only way you respond is how you go out there and play on the field. I mean, like I said, this man had 10 sacks in 10 games last year. He was a terror last year and he didn't play 6 games. So imagine his mindset going into this year with everything that transpired last season. This man is going to be on a mission and he's going to make sure everybody puts him behind him once he steps on the football field.
You know, I completely agree. You know, having worked for the SEC Network years ago, I covered Myles Garrett when he was at Texas A&M, and I was very critical of him because he's always had the physical skills. Like, he's been a physical freak for a long time, but the production didn't match the physical prowess. And I called him soft during his A&M career, and Myles Garrett didn't like it. Here's what I'll say. Over the last few years, I've seen improvement from this young man on every down, run and pass, and he is the most gifted defensive end in the National Football League. He can be the most complete defensive end in the National Football League. He may not be the greatest pass rusher. He may not be the greatest run player. But when you look at the combination of what you want in a premier defensive end, somebody that can take the game over, somebody that can be unblockable down in and down out, if you were going in Dom's factory in that huge house up in up in the Baltimore area that Dominique Foxworth lives in, and you said, you know what, Dom, put together the best defensive end you can, he will be built very similarly to Myles Garrett, 6'5", 275, he can run 4.6 in the 40. There is no one with that type of package in the NFL right now.
A, I live in D.C., which means that my house, I'm sure, is much smaller than yours because you live down south. You probably got an estate out there. I'm dealing with one guy who called Myles Garrett soft and the other one who said he was out there committing felonies. I am now the king of the Myles Garrett fan club on this show.
All right. Well, Garrett was suspended for six games, the final six games of last season. That was the second longest suspension for an on-field incident in NFL history. But like we all saw, he's still getting that money. So really speaks to just how talented of a player he really is. But Booger, you're sticking with us. You'll be with us next segment. We will address Dan Snyder's statement that he has finally made.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
And back to the top story of today. 15 former female employees of the Washington Redskins have accused members of the team's front office of sexual and verbal harassment. This in a report published last night by the Washington Post. Now, Ron Rivera, the team's head coach, commented on this yesterday, and it wasn't until really just moments ago that Redskins owner Dan Snyder released a statement of his own saying, "The behavior described in yesterday's Washington Post article has no place in our franchise or society. The story has strengthened my commitment to setting a new culture and standard for our team, a process that began with the hiring of Coach Rivera earlier this year. Both Beth Wilkinson and her firm are empowered to do a full, unbiased investigation and make any and all requisite recommendations. Upon completion of our work, we will institute new policies and procedures and strengthen our human resources infrastructure to not only avoid these issues in the future, but most importantly, create a team culture that is respectful and inclusive of all." Now, Booger McFarland still here with us. So, Booger, I want to start with you and ask what your reaction is to Dan Snyder's statement that, as I just said, came just moments ago.
About time. I mean, I think we were all waiting on this statement to come. It should have come a lot sooner. Nevertheless, it did come. I think what we have here is, I think America is looking at this situation in totality. First, you have the Redskins' name, which we've been dealing with for a number of years. And then comes this Washington Post article with the 15 women alleging all the harassment that was going on. And I think it's just a culture in Washington, D.C., particularly in that organization there, that a lot of people have had issues with for a long time. And this article may have just been, you know, the straw that broke the camel's back. We see that some of the minority owners have been trying to sell and the long time play-by-play voice from radio, he resigned abruptly. I think there is an aura, there is an environment there that has not breeded success, that has not breeded welcoming for you to come in and do your job and not worry about the outside noise for a long time. And I applaud Mr. Snyder for finally coming out and saying something, but quite frankly, it's just too late. Anytime your organization is under attack, anytime your business, the one that you are responsible for, the one that you are the owner of, is under attack, it should not take as long as it did for him to come out and put a statement. Quite frankly, Ron Rivera has been the face so far of the Washington Redskins, and I think people have a very respectful nature. People respect Ron Rivera. And I think we want to hear from Ron Rivera based on his integrity and his character a lot more than we want to hear from Daniel Snyder. And that speaks volumes since one is the head coach and the other is the owner of the team.
Well, listen, it's one thing to put out a statement. It's another thing to address, you know, address everything. And far too long with the Washington football team, the organization, they've had incident after incident happen, you know, going back to 2018 with the cheerleader incident down in Costa Rica. And now, you know, with the changing of the name and now this this Washington Post article that dropped yesterday where, you know, Dan Snyder seemed like he's been in a bunker. And we talk about, you know, toxic environments where toxic environments usually start because of toxic management. And it starts at the top with Daniel Snyder. And I praise Ron Rivera for coming into a situation and being kind of the face and being the focal point at to turn the situation around. But Ron Rivera shouldn't have to be doing these type of things. He's the football coach. He should be focusing on the football aspect, the football side of the football team, and not, you know, anything that happened before him. You know, for us to just now hear from Dan Snyder is an abomination, to be quite honest with you. And it contrasts what the Dallas with Mark Cuban and with the Dallas Mavericks did. And Mark Cuban, when the allegation came up with his organization, the first thing he did was, you know, just stand up in front of everyone and say, you know what, this is unacceptable what's been going on with our organization. And he was very frank and forward and was speaking to the media about everything that, you know, the changes that he was going to implement with his organization. So, listen, a statement is the least that Dan Snyder could do. Right now, I think people have more questions and answers as it relates to the Washington Redskins organization. I think he needs to put himself out there.
Yeah, I think the most important steps that they need to take now, the press release is one thing. He needs to open himself up to questions like that. You need to answer questions so we can get a full understanding of what your role has been and how you feel about the things that have transpired, and be able to ask specific questions from journalists who have been hopefully the journalists who uncovered this story. But frankly, any journalist at this point, he needs to open himself up to those questions. I think that's the first step. And the next step is probably, I think, we need to find a way to make sure that Beth Wilkinson and her firm, who are doing the investigation, are without any compromised situation or even the appearance of being compromised. Because, again, I don't know her or know her firm. I suspect that she is of the utmost integrity. But in situations like this, what is just as important as being independent is the perception of independence. Mm-hmm. So you do not want to allow there to be any opportunity for anyone to say that the evidence that comes out of this investigation is not valid. And as soon as you see that the final check comes from Dan Snyder or from the Washington franchise, you can have the perception that this investigation was not completely independent. So if it's the NFL stepping in to bring in another firm, or the NFL stepping in to be the ones who pay Beth Wilkinson and her firm, I think someone else needs to be responsible for conducting and financing this investigation. Otherwise, it's going to be hard for anybody to believe the results of it, no matter how much integrity the firm has. I think those are the two most important steps that I would like to see take place going forward. And the first step is an easy one. Dan Snyder needs to sit in front of a camera or sit in front of a journalist and answer these questions.
Well, to your point, Dom, let's be fair to Daniel Snyder. I'm pretty sure there's some legal ramifications where he can't just stand up in front of a podium and just answer all type of questions. So in order to be fair to him, right, I don't think he could probably do it. I'm not a lawyer, but I would bet he can't do that. It's easy. Based on all the allegations that have come up.
Those questions are easy to avoid. You make that comment, but I do think that there are plenty of questions that he can answer. And it's not just about this particular incident. I think it's about, he never came out and answers questions about the history of the name of the franchise. And I think it's easy to say, well, because of this ongoing investigation, this particular question I do not want to answer. But I think the rest of the questions you certainly can answer, and you can come out and be outspoken and forceful about the things that you're comfortable answering. And I think that's a step that needs to be taken. I mean, Ron Rivera spoke. Why can't Daniel Snyder?
That's fair. You know, what I would say is that the Washington Redskins are part of 32 teams in the NFL. So they're one of 32. So if we really want to be transparent, if we really want to get down to an answer, how about Roger Goodell in the NFL says, you know what, one of our 32 is under attack. Okay, did they do something wrong? We need to find out. So let's NFL, let's order an investigation. Roger Goodell is controlled by the NFL and him, right. And let's investigate what's going on down there. Because, Dom, that solves your point. Because at some point, if the Redskins have ordered this investigation and ultimately they are paying for it, ultimately there's going to always be that little skepticism in the back of your mind. Was there something really funny going on, regardless of the result? I think 100%. We would feel more comfortable if the NFL ordered the investigation and we would be able to live with the findings, because the NFL is always going to do what's best for the Shield. The Redskins are not the Shield. The NFL is the Shield. So if you're looking for a simple solution that I think will suffice the public and also the other owners behind the scenes, Roger Goodell, you ordered the investigation.
Well, and you know, for me, I think the question that just keeps coming up in my mind is, okay, you had the incident with the cheerleader in 2018, and you talked about your HR department needs to be beefed up. Well, didn't that happen after the cheerleading incident? Why are you talking about this now after another story has dropped? And it just leads me to more skepticism about Dan Snyder and his ability to be able to implement the necessary changes in order to foster an environment where everyone can come in and do their job and do their job well.
Well, I think this, along with the laundry list of problems that the Redskins have endured in the past, really just speaks to a toxic culture in Washington, which is really unfortunate. But I want to get your guys' take on how this is going to affect the players who are on the field this season for the Redskins.
I mean, I think that we've already talked about how Ron Rivera is being taken away from his job. So, like, I think if you're head coach, and he's not only just the head coach, he's kind of the head of player personnel. They've lost a lot of staff. He is not, and we are going through this unique time where you can't be around the players nearly as much. I can't imagine that it's going to bode well for the team going forward when your head coach is not only tasked with finding a new name, because he seems to be the one who's front and center there. He's also tasked with addressing a deep-rooted culture of sexism in the organization. So those are two independent full-time jobs that Ron Rivera seems to be tasked with before he even gets to the full-time job of leading the player personnel and the full-time job of being a NFL head coach. I'm not sure how he can pull all this off, but if he can, that man deserves more than whatever Dan Snyder is paying him. He deserves a lot more because he is doing incredible work across several different pillars in this organization. And one of the jobs that I think, frankly, right now that comes towards the end of that is coaching a football team. So I'm not sure how he can prepare his football team while also doing all these other things.
You know, Dom, to your point, you know, Ron Rivera is really tasked with a monumental job, because he's got to lead a team that he's never coached before. He's got to lead a team that's about to undergo a name change, which has been probably needing to happen for 20 years. And on top of that, he's got an owner that's been under attack and keeps being under attack for things that are going on the business side. And so Ron Rivera has a mighty plate in front of him. But the things that I know about him, he's very capable. I think from a football standpoint, this Redskins team, or whatever the name they're going to be when they start playing, they will be ready to play. Ron Rivera is one of the great coaches in the National Football League, and I have no doubt that his team will be ready to play. As far as a player, you know, the name change will probably affect the players more than these allegations based on the Washington Post article, because a lot of this happened in scouting on the business side. It didn't necessarily happen from a coaching staff standpoint. And as a player, when I'm dealing with my coaches directly, when I'm dealing with some of the training staff, those are the people that I come in closest contact with throughout the season. So I don't know if the players will deal with the ramifications from the Washington Post article. They will probably have to deal with more of the name change than the article. But either way, I think Ron Rivera, if he's not the best, he's one of the best people to be in position to do this job.
Well, listen, I think that, you know, players have a unique ability, and all of us on this panel can speak to it, to be focused on the task at hand. So I think from a player's perspective, I think the guys will be fine, you know, getting ready for the season and so on and so forth. Where I do think there could be a potential issue is with Ron Rivera just being stretched too thin. I mean, remember, this is a Washington franchise that doesn't have a team president. So not only is he the coach, he's player personnel. And, you know, Dom talked about this. He's also the seems like the spokesman for the team. And anytime your coach is being, you know, stretched thin like this, you're taking away from preparation on the football side of it. So, you know, Dan Snyder has a lot of work ahead of him. You know, he needs to put more people in place to allow his head coach, which that's the job he was hired for, to go out there and win games on the field.
Absolutely. Well, gentlemen, we got to leave it there, but thank you so much for all of your insight. Thanks for being with us. We'll be waiting for more developments as it pertains to Washington. We know they're coming. Everybody, thanks for watching First Take. Enjoy your weekend. SportsCenter coming up next.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this?
A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.